thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to excuse me. Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. I'm by myself. There's no Will T. There's no Ray Jeezy in the building. It's just me, good old Wally. You can hear my sexy voice. I have a little cold, as you can tell. Just a slight cold. I was running on the treadmill trying to get my exercise on. But again, you listen to Urban Sports Scene. We have a great show. First off, man, basketball is in the building again, man. The NBA is back. It's an exciting time. I can't believe it. Right now, you got LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers about to take on Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics. It's going to be a great season. So many changes happen within the league. And again, we get to see great basketball at its finest. But, you know, I don't have my unit here. But you know what? I do have a clip of one of, you know, of Will T. He usually says this thing that we normally say on here. I don't want to say it. You know, I want Will T to say it. So without further ado, Hey, Will T, bruh,
let's get our tradition. The pregame.
So, yeah, here we go. Here are our topics for our show. I'll have Lex Diamond from Heritage Sports Radio Network to talk about the Washington Redskins beating the San Francisco 49ers 26-24. At the 8:20 mark, I'll preview the Redskins' upcoming game against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Washington Wizards open up the season against the Philadelphia 76ers. NBA writer Kobe Jacobino from FanRag NBA will join me for the Wiz talk at 8:30. At 8:40, I'll have our NFL Week 7 picks. Also, the Washington Nationals were eliminated from the NLDS by the Chicago Cubs. I'll have Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatsGM.com, to join me at 8:50 to talk Nats baseball. But first, we have my man Lex Diamonds. Lex, what's going on, my man?
Hey, man, I'm trying to figure out how I got booked doing the starting lineups for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. And I'm supposed to be watching that. That's must-see TV.
Look, man,
you guys got me talking about the 3-2 Redskins.
But Lex, that means you starting off the show. That means you prime time. You know that, right? That means you're prime time.
Hey, I realize that. I realize that. It's all good, man. I know Cleveland. I know they gave Kyrie the blues.
They did. Oh, I expect them to. I expect them to give him the blues. I mean, we're talking about. Oh, man, we're talking about Kyrie versus LeBron. Kyrie never won, you know, without LeBron. So it's interesting to see what he's going to do in Boston.
Hey, it's going to be very interesting because before LeBron got there, Cleveland was in the lottery every year.
Exactly.
He ended up getting Anthony Bennett 1 year as his teammate because they had one of the worst records in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then they followed it up with Andrew Wiggins, who was the number one pick in the draft. Oh, because Cleveland and Kyrie-led Cleveland Cavaliers team had them in the lottery again. So they got LeBron, and now all of a sudden he got cute because the last 3 years, it's been a phenomenal run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, he's got cute, saying he don't need help, and now we're going to see what he does. But he got a lot of help.
Oh, he got a lot of help. You know what he did, right? In essence, he was sick of being – and we're going to talk about the Redskins, but this is a good discussion anyway. But in essence, what he did was that he knew – that being in Boston, he can be known as the man. In all honesty, it's going to be more of a team, right? But in Cleveland, it's all LeBron. We know LeBron carries that. Runs that team. We know LeBron's the best player on the floor. And to be honest with you, in Boston, it's a deep squad. So now it's going to look like, okay, if Kyrie is successful in Boston, it's like he led Boston to the championship. But in all honesty, it's a team that has a lot of talent and is coached correctly. Well, one of the best coaches in basketball, in Brad Stevens.
And that's the thing I think that's lost this whole situation is because you're going to see him leaving LeBron and you think that, okay, it's Kyrie that's doing this. But no, they just got the number one free agent in Hayward. The year before that, they got the big guy that was in Atlanta, Al Horford, you know, and they got some really good young draft picks. Tatum out of Duke is a phenomenal
top rookie. Yeah.
And like you said, Brad Stevens is a really good coach. So I think he was kind of, you know, it was a gamble. He said, well, LeBron is leaving. I don't want to be here in Cleveland without LeBron because it was bad. So I might as well jump ship now because LeBron is going to the West Coast at the end of the season.
Oh, I agree. You ain't going to hear nothing different from me. I think Kyrie pimped the game a little bit. But anyway, The Washington Redskins beat the Niners 26-24. They gave up 17. They gave up a 17-0 lead in this game. In your opinion, what happened?
Well, part of it is the injuries are starting to mount. I mean, a few weeks ago, the Redskins had arguably a top 10 defense with the top, probably one of the top secondaries in all of football. And as you see, players are starting to kind of dwindle out of their lineup, but now they're having to go to the bench and use some of the depth that they had. But, you know, you can only lose so many starting cornerbacks and so many starting safeties before, you know, before you start looking like an average defensive team. And they made Beathard's grandson, Bobby Beathard's grandson, they made him look like he was Joe Montana, second coming.
And I'm with you. I thought they didn't put enough pressure on Bobby. I mean, C.J. Beathard. This is a kid I actually watched. Being a big Michigan fan, this kid I watched in Iowa, and I didn't think he was that good. To be honest with you, and I just thought they didn't put enough pressure on him to be effective against him. I thought they played too much zone in that game. But Josh Dotson, you know, he had a touchdown reception, but with limited actions. I think he had like 17 snaps. Is it time to feature Josh Dotson?
Well, I think what it is, I think we're at the point in the season where it's time for him to put up a shut up. So I think Coach Gruden is trying to give him opportunities to be successful. Mm-hmm. I think that was the reason why, you know, they kind of went, called his number for that touchdown because he dropped the game-winning touchdown 2 weeks ago in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in their mind, they're like, well, let's get his confidence level back because he seems to be one of those guys, you know, where he needs his confidence level boosted constantly to kind of, you know, make him feel like he's a part of the team. But they got a dilemma because not only do they have to kind of move and work him into the offense, but they're trying to figure out, did they waste money on Mr. Pryor?
Oh, man.
Outside of that one touchdown bomb he had, we really haven't seen a lot from Terrell Pryor, who's still learning that position. I really think, in my opinion, the Redskins need to focus on their tight ends because they have two bookend tight ends in Reed and Vernon Davis, and they need to focus on Crowder and focus on Thompson, who is having a phenomenal year out of the backfield, and then the other receiver who kind of gets lost, you know, in the crowd is Ryan Grant, who I think is the guy that's the X factor for the Redskins in their Monday night matchup next week against the Eagles.
Well, I mean, I honestly, I just think that, I mean, for me, my Ryan Grant, I don't have the big, you know, I'm not into Ryan Grant like many people are. I do think he's basic. I think he's basic and I think he's reliable because I do think he can catch. I think he's a guy who can catch. I don't think he creates good separation. I think by play design, he can create separation. What I mean by that is that, you know, the coaches can put him in position to be open. But I think if you're telling me Ryan Grant one-on-one with a DB, I don't see him as a guy who can create separation. I myself would like to see Josh Dotson get on the field because I think he can do a lot more. And I think Jay Gruden alluded to it during his press conference, saying that, you know, it's time to get Josh Dotson some more reps because now it's time to, you know, give him the ball. Like, he needs to start to be that guy for this organization because I agree with you about Terrell Pryor. I mean, we're talking about a guy that it seems like the Redskins did waste money because this guy signed a 1-year deal. You were banking on him to replace DeSean Jackson, and they haven't gotten that kind of production. And then if you want to talk about the Kansas City play, to be honest with you, if Peters didn't misplay that ball, then Pryor never gets that touchdown. So we can say that Terrell Pryor even hasn't really even played to the level that we thought, even close to the level we thought this team was going to get coming into the season, and even because of like training camp and the one-handed catches. But yeah, I want to see Dotson on the field a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at this point you have to see him play because this is year two.
Yes.
You know, of his career, and first year he was injured, and you just heard a bunch of hype about the kid, and then during the preseason you heard more hype about him.
Agreed.
But now it's time for them to actually put up. He's got a top five quarterback going into football that knows that offense. So he needs to step up and become that guy that the Redskins believe he is and be the go-to guy because Crowder is a possession guy who really is a complimentary the way Santana Moss was with the Redskins. And I think that's the position that they want to kind of put Crowder in. But they need that lead receiver, and they're hoping that it's going to be Doxson. That way they don't have to re-sign prior next season.
True.
You know, that's the reason why they kind of – it was two reasons, in my opinion, why they signed prior.
Mm-hmm.
One, they wanted to see if he could replace Deshaun.
Yeah.
Right now, it doesn't look like that's the case. And the other reason, he was in insurance policy just in case, you know, Doxson wasn't able to stay healthy or he didn't produce at the level that they were expecting. And right now, those two, I think, have disappointed a lot of people, you know. And hopefully, you know, as the season progresses, because I think the body of work right now, the Redskins have so many weapons that Kirk can kind of go to, and the emergence of Chris Thompson, and then once the health returns for Jordan Reed,
mm-hmm.
the Redskins will have a ton of weapons for Kirk Cousins to kind of manipulate the defenses and just kind of propel Washington to a top five offense this year.
You mentioned Crowder. What's going on with Crowder, man? Like, going into the season, a lot of people thought he would just be that dude.
Well, Crowder's got a lot of stuff going on. I know he's expecting his first child, and, you know, there's pressure on him to be the guy now that you've lost Deshaun and you've lost Pierre Garçon. And a lot of times when you're the third option on a team that has two Pro Bowl receivers, you know, you kind of look like you were Randy Moss in that type of situation. But now the spotlight's on you. The question is, can you perform, you know, at a high level consistently? And I think all of the Redskins receivers are kind of, you know, you have those questions for all those guys, except for Grant. I'm telling you, I like Grant. I think Grant needs more opportunity. He needs more possessions. And I think Kirk likes throwing to
him. I agree with you. I think he does like throwing to Ryan Grant. I do agree with that. I think he does. I can tell that he likes throwing to him. Right now, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. Ray and Will are out. Right now, we have Lex Diamond from Heritage Sports Radio Network on the line. You talked about Kirk Cousins earlier. What do you think? What did you think about his play yesterday? So not yesterday, excuse me. Sunday.
I thought his play Sunday was acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
He made a couple plays that he probably would like to get back. You know, a couple high balls and things of that nature. And the interception, you know, wasn't, you know, the interception that he threw was not crucial. You'd never want to have turnovers, but it wasn't in a position where it could have been a pick six like he has done in previous games. But I think Kurt has really grasped the offense. He knows his offense like the back of his hand. And that's, you know, that's only going to get better as the year goes on. And I hope soon that there's a conversation about a contract, because I think Kurt's been here long enough and we have a quality quarterback in Washington that we need to keep. Not break the bank like Baltimore Ravens did with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
But try to come to an agreement where we can still surround him with talent. We can still have offensive linemen to protect him and be able to keep the defense, you know, a credible defense. So it's going to be an interesting next 4 weeks. I think it's going to determine a lot on what type of team we are in D.C., what type of football team we have in D.C. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, especially in a primetime Monday night game against a second-year quarterback in Wentz, who's playing extremely well right now.
Yeah, who's also looking like a franchise quarterback. Yeah, I didn't have an issue with the way Kirk Cousins played on Sunday. I thought he played well. We're talking about, you know, his stats were awesome, to be honest with you. 25 for 37, two touchdowns, one interception, one rushing touchdown. To me, what I like about Kirk Cousins is he's running more. He's taking some big hits, which I think he needs to chill out a little bit on. But I like that he's more aggressive, and he's playing like, I'm not saying like he has it yet, but he's playing like, you know, he's getting that dog, like he's getting that dog in him.
Yeah, he's playing like it's his team.
Yeah,
But the only thing about that play where he ran the ball and kind of tucked the ball like he was like, I'm going to take this hit, it kind of reminded me of Gus Frat.
Oh, good point. Yeah, good point.
Redskins, and he was, you know, he beat out Heath Shuler at that time. And, you know, he was a very quality quarterback. But then you remember the game, I think it was against Minnesota. He went in the end zone and banged his head against the wall.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah. And the season changed.
That was not a good decision to do. And that decision by Kirk to do what he did, where he tried to ram into the defensive player. Yeah, it looks good to your teammates, you know, your offensive linemen, because it seems like you're showing you're tough, but it's not smart because they need him to be upright. They need him to be healthy for the remainder of the season. You saw what happened with the Broncos when their quarterback threw an interception and tried to be a hero and make a tackle, and he hurt himself, and they had to put in the backup, and they struggled even more. So you got to be smart if you're a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? You won't see Tom Brady doing that crazy like that.
I think Trent Williams said after the game, like, yeah, he had to tell Kirk Cousins to chill out basically on that.
Absolutely. They're not paying him to ram defenders. That's what they're paying Stat Rob for. And Chris Thompson for that's their job. They need Kirk to throw touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Move those chains. So as long as he's doing that, Washington should be fine. They're going to be in every football game as long as Kirk has time and he's able to be comfortable in the pocket. The Redskins will be in every game this year.
I just saw a gruesome injury. Excuse me, caught me off guard. You see, Gordon Hayward just like his ankle is bent all the way around. Wow. Are you watching the game, Lex?
I'm not.
Don't watch. Do not put the TV on because it's disgusting. Gordon Hayward just had like a gruesome injury.
Oh, he's out?
He bent his whole ankle. Like the everybody's walking away from him because it's so nasty. They can't even look at it.
The guy they just signed.
It is bad.
Oh, my goodness.
They are wow.
See there, that's karma. Because now the guy Kyrie was expecting to help him defeat LeBron is now gone.
Oh man, I pray for him. That is gruesome. I pray for this kid. Oh my God. Like everybody's huddled up.
Serious.
It is that serious. Like it is yes, it is that serious. I looked at it and I glanced at it for a hot second and I had to turn away. It makes you want to throw up. It's that bad.
Wow.
Almost like I think it may be a little worse. What happened to Paul George?
Oh, wow.
It's that bad. I feel bad. Oh, wow. Let me go with you mentioned Chris Thompson and Rob Kelly. Chris Thompson got, because Rob Kelly was out, Chris Thompson got most of the carries. He was actually featured at 16 carries for 33 yards. Not impressive as a rusher, but as a guy out of the backfield who can catch who receives the football, had 4 receptions for 105 yards. What were your thoughts of his play?
Oh man, I'm loving him right now. Chris Thompson has had a sensational season, and I think Jay Gruden is doing a great job of getting him involved in the offense. I mean, he's not a north-south runner; he's definitely an east-west guy. And the fact that he's, you know, giving him the short passes, the screens, the wheel routes, things of that nature, the curls, and finding, you know, space for him because that's what he needs. He needs space. And when he's able to do that, I mean, you're talking total package, you know what I'm saying? Total all-purpose yard. Guys come to mind, Sproles, LT Thomason that used to be with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the type of stuff he's doing right now with him being able to catch football because Washington is a passing team. So when they're passing, those little short passes to him and those little screens, it's just like a run for the Redskins. So, and he's getting big chunks of yards. So I'm very happy with his play. And I hope they continue to give him more touches because that's just going to open up the playbook and give the receivers and the tight ends more opportunities, give Reed more space in the middle and give the guys going deep opportunities. So it's great.
No, I actually like, even though he didn't run his stats weren't the best in the world in terms of rushing yards, I like him. I think he's still the best running back in terms of in the backfield. I think he sees a lot more. And I think it says a lot that you're going to have a guy that's going to create fear into the opponent. Yeah, he may not break it all the way. He may not have the greatest average yards per carry at this point in time. But I know the defense is respected rather than, say, a Rob Kelly or, say, a P-Ryan. They may not be as intimidated by them in the backfield.
It puts a lot of pressure on your defense because now you can bunch all those guys on one side, Pryor, Reed, and Thompson. And you can bunch them all on one side, you know, put them on a flood route and just shoot the little curl pass to him. And he can take it to the house. I mean, he's a playmaker. And right now, Gruden is probably in the house coming up with some type of new play that's going to be a problem for the Eagles. Because, like I said, man, he reminds me of Darren Sproles at this point.
Oh, he does.
Like Darren Sproles
agreed.
Used to be with the Saints.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he definitely reminds me of Sproles. Norman was out. Breeland was fighting injury throughout the whole game. Then eventually he you know hurt his knee. Looks like he has an MCL sprain. But then you see Quentin Dunbar step up and talk about his play. He played phenomenal.
He did. You know, the fact that you've already lost Josh Norman and now you know Breland, you know, he gets nicked up. The fact that you were able to go that deep and bring a guy in and for him to be able to, you know, help you as well as he did. I mean, that's all you can ask for a third, you know, third, fourth cornerback on your roster, you know, because if he was, you know, if he was better than Josh Norman, he would be starting,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But he's on the bench and he's had to step up. And that's kind of what's going on with the Redskins. They've been hit with that injury bug to very key positions. And the fact that the next guy up is coming in and contributing and really kind of, you know, they're putting a Band-Aid on this situation, but it's getting them over the top. That's the main thing. They're getting pressure from up front, you know, and if they can continue to get pressure on the quarterback, they got to keep putting pressure on the quarterbacks, especially the quarterback, the Eagles quarterback, because when he's back there just kind of navigating and doing whatever he wants, he gets so comfortable. You got to make him as uncomfortable as possible.
No, I agree. When they play Monday night, they definitely got to put pressure on Carson Wentz because and they got to bring him down, which they didn't do in the first game. They got to get there and they got to bring him down. But you mentioned injury. Dustin Hopkins, the kicker, is pretty much out for the season. They signed Nick Rose, a young kicker who went to Texas. Then we're talking about the rookie Jonathan Allen's going to be out probably 3 to 4 weeks with the Liz Frank sprain from of his foot. So he'll be out. So that means Matt Ioannidis has to step up, and also Ryan Kerrigan, Preston Smith, because Jonathan Allen's a guy that helped bring push in that middle. So the other guys have to step up. But yeah, I'm with you. The Redskins, in terms of injuries, they hit it hard.
Yeah, man. I mean, you lose your number one pick. You lose your number one free agent last season. I mean, you already lost your number one running back. You know, you've lost your second corner on the other side. He gets hurt. Your safeties have kind of they were out of the game both at some point for different reasons. I mean, some scary moments, scary injuries, you know, for the Redskins so far. But if they can just survive, you know, mm-hmm. They've already had their bye, so they're going into that part of their schedule. It's going to be a little bit tougher. They got the Eagles. They still got the Cowboys twice. You know, they're still kind of in limbo trying to figure out if your guy Ezekiel is going to be suspended or not. So they're in limbo when it comes to that. And the Giants, they're reeling. They're, you know, they finally got a win, and now they're a team that's trying to, you know, make a run in the second half of the season. So, and they got Minnesota, who just knocked out Green Bay, who's now at the top of their division.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about what's left for the Redskins on their schedule. You're talking San Diego, Phillip Rivers, and you're talking Denver Broncos. Still a lot of tough teams on that schedule, so they kind of need every single player they have to get healthy and get healthy fast.
Yeah, I wish all hands on deck for that team, for the Redskins. Before I let you go, it wouldn't be right to not talk about this play. Pierre Garçon and Monte Nicholson, they met up and Pierre got him on that one.
You said what happened?
Pierre Garçon and Monte Nicholson, they met up head on, and Pierre Garçon got that one. The safe.
Well, I mean, Pierre's a big guy, man. He's a tough guy. You know, he had that. He was hyped about
the
game.
Of course.
So, you know, he didn't kill the Redskins, which was
he didn't.
Happy to see that part, but he was definitely pumped. And he really, if he could have had the opportunity, I think he would have tried to score multiple touchdowns, you know, on the Redskins. But he didn't have that type of day.
Yeah, he
did. He had to switch quarterbacks, and that made it a little difficult. They weren't really able to run the football as well as they probably would like to. The 49ers are struggling. Yeah. They're trying to figure out how to win football games, and they just seem to lose close games every single week. So it's a tough situation, and I know they probably had some conversations with Kirk, like, hey, come on, join us next year. But if I was Kirk Cousins, at this point, the Redskins are an up-and-coming team. I would stay right where I was at.
Yeah, I totally agree. But Lex, before I let you go, and also thanks for joining us, how can folks check out your content?
You can check me out on social media, Instagram and Twitter, Lex Diamond without the A. Like I told you guys before, I'm kind of on the shelf from broadcasting right now. My dad is dealing with a medical issue, and I've been, you know, just helping him out. But I will be back, you know, doing some games in the next few weeks. So look out for that on HSRN, the voice of choice.
Oh, I love it, man. And I love seeing you at the game, man. Much appreciated for you for being on. And again, we're going to try to have you on All Skins Everything next week as well.
Okay, that's fine, man. And like I said, man, if you want to talk LeBron and basketball, bring me back.
I will do that, too. We'll definitely do that.
Absolutely.
All right.
But just don't bring me on when they're doing the player announcement, when they're doing the player.
My bad, Lex. I won't do that again.
That's cool.
All right, man. Thank you. Thanks again.
Oh, no problem. You guys have a great evening.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Again, that's Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network. Make sure you check him out, man. He's a great guy. He definitely knows the stuff. He knows all sports, not just, you know, Redskins chat. He knows all sports, as you can tell. He was out here chopping it up about the Cleveland Cavaliers and Boston Celtics. Oh, man. Everybody, send your prayers out for Gordon Hayward. That injury was so nasty. His ankle was twisted every which way. Send your prayers out. No man deserves that. I don't care what situation it is. No man deserves that. That was one of the most hideous injuries I've ever seen. But anyway, I'll continue talking about last Sunday's game and the Skins' upcoming Monday night game against the NFC East first place Philadelphia Eagles after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces. Just go out and expect to have an explosive like play or whatnot. 49 today was 49 yard reception. You know, it seems like you average out with an explosive play.
For me, I tell myself all game to just be a spark. That's one thing I'm reminding myself of throughout the whole game. And you know, we got in some bad situations. You know, first and 22. So you know, he called my name, so I had to get it done, and that's my thing, you know, just be a spark. I don't care about getting the glory, getting the praise for it. I'm supposed to be here and doing those things, and when I don't do it, I feel like I let my guys down. So you know, for me, it's all about just being that spark, being a difference maker, and you know, they paid me to do that, so I gotta execute.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray Jeezy are out. That was Chris Thompson. He talked about, and I got a chance to talk to Chris Thompson after the game when the Redskins beat the San Francisco 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers 26-24. Chris Thompson has been the Redskins' most consistent player. He had 16 carries for 33 yards, which wasn't impressive, by the rushing totals. But to me, he still had an impact on the field. He's a guy, again, that forces the defenses to account for him. So by him being on the field presents so many problems for the Reds, for the opposition defensively. And what I mean by that is that you see Chris Thompson, that may allow now Jordan Reed to get single coverage. That may allow Terrell Pryor to get single coverage, maybe in terms of getting going inside in the slot. There's so much that can happen because of Chris Thompson. To me, he's been like the MVP of the offense. Also, he had a lost fumble. Again, people don't look at that and say, you know what? He's not a guy who can tote the ball. He can't get 20 plus carries. But again, he's a guy, in my opinion, that should be the star running back for the Washington Redskins. Lex Diamond, who was on the show, had some cool things to say about the Redskins defense, talking about how Dunbar stepped up. Obviously, the Redskins gave up a 17-0 lead, and to me, they didn't give the rookie C.J. Beathard a lot to worry about. They play a lot of zone in the game. I don't think they were aggressive enough. So I think that the defense could have been better. But again, this team has shown enough moxie defensively because they lost so many bodies due to injury. Again, you lost Josh Norman beforehand. You lost Breland in the game. And then you had Quentin Dunbar ball out. You had to play more role a little bit more. And he didn't look great, but again, he's a rookie. And you had Monte Nicholson, who played well and was injured and came back in the game. And to me, you know, showed you his toughness. But again, the Redskins now have to play the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is a team that is dangerous. This Eagles team is a team that beat the Redskins 30-17. So they're playing on Monday night. Monday night is where the Redskins typically struggle. But again, a couple weeks ago when they played the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night, they played well. Kirk Cousins played good. He played good, solid football. But I would like to see in this game, Martrell Spates inside linebacker play a little bit more. Mason Foster right now is the second inside linebacker starting alongside of Zach Brown. When you look at what Martrell Spates brings to the table, he's a guy that can run sideline to sideline. And the two games he did get to play against the Oakland Raiders in a victory, he had 9 tackles. Against the Kansas City Chiefs, he had 8 tackles, splitting time with Mason Foster. Mason Foster against the San Francisco 49ers only had about 3 tackles. And to me, if you looked at the tape, he was nowhere near his fits in the run game. And to me, he was easily blocked, and that's an issue. And then when you're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, you know there's a boy named Zach Ertz, who's one of the better tight ends in football. I can't trust Mason Foster and Zach Brown to check Zach Ertz. Zach Brown alone, that's difficult enough for him. Mason Foster, a guy who's not good in coverage, checking Zach Ertz is a problem to me. So I would like to see, those two split time. At least that, in terms of Mason Foster and Martrell Spates. But to me, the key to a Redskins victory in this game is, one, they got to be persistent running the football. I know against the Eagles in the first matchup, this team only had about 64 yards rushing, period, in the game. But that doesn't matter. They need to be consistent. They need to be persistent. They got to run anyway. And they can do that. This team has a good opportunity to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And also, when they get their hands on Carson Wentz, they got to bring him down. They have Matt Ioannidis, Preston Smith, Ryan Kerrick, and they have to step up. They have to show out. Preston Smith has had a sack about every game, has 4.5 sacks. Matt Ioannidis has 3.5 sacks. Ryan Kerrick, too, has 3.5 sacks. These guys have to rally to the football. They have to bring Carson Wentz down, because in that first game when the Redskins lost 30-17, Carson Wentz was down and out. He found a way to get out of the pocket, and he made some explosive plays. One comes to mind was the 58-yard scramble touchdown pass to Nelson Aguilar. So they have to shut him down. They have to contain him. And if they do that, the Redskins can win. Anyway, the Wizards open the season against the 76ers. I'll have Kobe Jacobino from FanRagNBA.com after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For Aegis, you dig? Deuces. Got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this.
immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a Joe almost probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you, this is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, furnace, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness,
DNA. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Will T and Ray are out. You know, they're on vacation. Game vacay time. You know, Will T did try to be on the show. But I was like, you know what, Will? You know, it's a big NBA game. You got the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Boston Celtics. I'm going to let you watch that. I'm going to hold it down for the team. But right now, we have Kobe Jacobino from FanRag NBA on the line. Kobe, what's good, my man? Long time no hear from.
Wally, long time, too long.
Way too long, Kobe. Way too long.
Now that the season's back, you know, we'll be talking a lot more, hopefully.
Oh, no, there's no hopefully. I claim it. We will. I claim it.
Good.
All right. So Wednesday night, the Wizards take on the 76ers. What do you expect to see tomorrow night?
I expect to see a very entertaining game. And, you know, usually, you know, I guess you could date back to last year, but we really didn't know how good Joel Embiid was. But now that we know how good he is, and this new revamped Sixers team, you know, usually when you see we're so used to seeing when the Sixers are on the schedule, that kind of being a dud game. Well, that's not going to be the case anymore. And, you kind of have two revitalized teams coming in, looking to start their season on the right foot. And, you know what I mean? You're going to have, on one side, very young, athletic, energetic players for Philly. And on the other side, you're going to have proven, experienced, insanely fast guards led by John Wall for Washington. And, you know, they're going to go after, and I think it's going to be a good way to open up the season.
Real quick, before we go to more Wizard talk, did you see the injury to Gordon Hayward?
I did, man.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't even control myself. You know, my friend and, mm-hmm. and my fiance were all watching the game, and I really didn't know what happened at first. And then the camera went back to Hayward, and my eyes slowly went from his head all the way down. And when I saw it, I just couldn't help but, like, I mean, first of all, like, my stomach literally got
same
sick.
Here.
And then I just kind of, like, let out a yell. And I really didn't mean to, but mm-hmm. it's just what happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just what happened. So very, very bad, you know, for not only for Boston. Let's take the results of the win and losses out of this, but yeah. Just in terms of Gordon Hayward
exactly.
and his well-being, you know, definitely prayers for him.
I'm so with you. I was actually had a segment about the Washington Redskins, and then, like, I'm watching the game, and as it happened, I'm like, oh, God, I had to stop. Like, I couldn't even focus on what I was talking about anymore.
No, it makes you, like, you know, I can't imagine what the players are thinking, and especially, you know, not to put any jazz, but Derrick Rose.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine what those guys are thinking. And as we see, right after that, the Cavs go and get a 9-10-point lead.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. It's very hard for Boston to, you know, one of their brothers just went down, likely for the season. Hopefully Gordon Hayward actually plays again in his career. So
that's
the focus on something like that.
Well, I will say this. You see, we all saw Paul George's injury, and he bounced back. So hopefully the same can happen for Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, that provides hope for
you. Mm-hmm, exactly. All right, so I want you to tell me if I'm crazy, because I put this out there a while ago, and I got mixed reviews. All right, so the Wizards are playing the Sixers, and I've been campaigning for the Wizards to go after Jahlil Okafor. Am I insane?
You're not insane. but here's my only thing was, I guess it would be who are the Wizards giving up?
Okay.
And you know, just because here's my reasoning behind it. You have Marcin Gortat, you have Jan Mahimi, maybe one of those two go in the deal if that were to happen.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, that would be fine. Now, my only thing is you're not really getting anything a whole lot different. And in my opinion, right now, today, I would say Gortat and – well, we haven't really seen a whole lot from Mahimi, but he did end last season on a high note. Gortat, he has taken steps back, but you, I mean, we've seen it over time. Him and Wall's chemistry is just, you know, it's on another level. They're one of the best pick and roll duos in the league, and that's largely because of John Wall's playmaking, not so much because of Gortat's finishing. I mean, we've been at games together sitting there, and Gortat misses these, you know, little blank shots right in the middle, and you just look over at me and give me a hard time because I'm there supporting Gortat. Do we need an upgrade? Maybe Okafor could be a better finisher, and it would sure help his career out because he's obviously not getting the looks that he wants in Philly. I think for his career, a move would be good. But for the Wizards, as of right now, would it be great? I mean, I don't put it this way. I don't think it would hurt him because Gortat's not that great of a defender. One thing I can say is he is a good pick and roll defender in terms of just getting out and hedging hard on the ball, which I haven't seen from Okafor yet. So, I mean, we'd be getting younger. And when I say we, I mean the Wizards. The Wizards would be getting younger, and you know maybe add a new dynamic. I don't think it's an insane, I don't think it's an insane opinion.
Thank you, because people think I'm insane by thinking this. And then the reason why I brought it up because, like, I think, and this is the reason I think Gortat. You know, I've been complaining about Gortat and Mahimi too, to be honest with you. But my issue has been is that John Wall is so great. I think that Gortat puts up stats because of John Wall. John Wall makes so many people money. Like, he could, because he's so great as a point guard. And I think you put that in with Okafor, a guy that we forget that this kid was averaging 17, pretty much 18 points a game his rookie season before the injury. So when he gets, and unfortunately, Embiid, the monster of Embiid, has taken over to a point that's playing his position that he's not getting those minutes at that position anymore. So, to me, you put a guy who's averaging 18 points a game with John Wall, he makes life that much easier because now he won't just get post move shots. He'll get layups because John Wall sets everything up.
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing obviously would be for the Wizards would be what are they giving up? And at a time like this, as you said, is Embiid, you know, a big question mark with his health?
Sure.
Yes, but it's not. I don't think the Sixers are very much in a spot where they're like, okay, no problem, Embiid can't play, we'll put Okafor in. They're still reluctant to put him in as it is. So, you know, I think it would be nice for both parties. I mean, I never really thought about it until you brought it up, and you know, I definitely wouldn't mind just because, like I said. You know, people got on Okafor for his defense in the NBA. Listen, name me a rookie that has had a tremendous defensive season in the NBA his rookie year.
Agreed.
Pretty much everybody sucked. When you're a rookie, you're going to suck. You're going to suck defensively.
Yeah.
It's just what happens, and it's nothing against you. The schemes are complex. You're playing against the best players in the world. They've seen everything that you're going to throw at them. So it is what it is. I mean, would I be against it? No. And he rebounds too. He rebounds pretty well. I don't think he is as good a rebounder as Gortat.
No, he's not.
But I mean, who knows if he could get there. So you're not insane, Wally. I wouldn't mind.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Kobe. I feel better now with my life. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team with myself, Wally, Ray and Will out right now. We have Kobe Giacobino, a writer from Fan Rag NBA on the line. So give me a prediction, a Wizards prediction in terms of their record.
Oh, I think they're gonna get 50. I think they're gonna get 50 this year. And you know, not to pour salt on the wound, literally, but as we just saw what happened in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first, like, you know, obviously not one of the first things. After everything kind of settled down, I was just like, you know, just like that, the Wizards could be the 2 seed in the East, and I think it's true. I mean, I put out my predictions today, and I had the Wizards finishing third. Now, listen, Boston's still going to be a handful, but when you lose a guy like Gordon Hayward, that's definitely a hit. They have a ton of talented wings, but none of the experience, none of the shot-making ability of a Gordon Hayward. So they're going to lean heavily on Kyrie. And is Kyrie better than Isaiah Thomas in terms of just flat out getting buckets? Yes. But it's going to be pretty – I feel like it's going to be pretty much the same thing. So, you know, maybe that lifts Boston to the first seed again. Mm-hmm. You know, we never know. But I definitely think it bodes well for the Wizards, because it's just one less weapon that they're going to have to worry about out in Boston. But to re-answer your question, I think it's going to be 50. But teams in the division, such as like Charlotte's a team that nobody's really talking about, and, you know, kind of rightfully so. They didn't really do anything. They got Dwight Howard. They didn't really do anything in the offseason. But they're a team that is coached very well and continues to play with each other for, you know, consecutive years. So I think they're going to be tough. And then you have the Heat, of course. They ended last season on a very high note. They'll look to carry that over into this season. But besides that, you know, you got teams like the Hawks, who took a dramatic, you know, fall from grace. They're probably going to finish, I would say, second to last in the East in front of the Bulls. And then you have the Magic, which is weird because the Wizards always struggle with the Magic, but they should be easy wins too. So games like that, if they win the games that they should, I don't see why they can't win 50.
So Cole, before I let you go, how can people get your content?
You can, most of my stuff is just posted right on my Twitter account at Colby G Hoops. And then, don't forget to visit the site, fanrag.com/NBA. Have a ton of very, very good writers there. Always have some great content. We have some national guys, you know, that are on ESPN as well. So definitely take a look. And, let's just sit back and enjoy this season. Didn't start off on a high note, but maybe, you know, I it can only get better from here.
Definitely, Kobe. Hey, Kobe, thanks for being on the show, and we're going to link up. That's a guarantee.
Well, yeah, no doubt, man. Hey, thanks for having me. Good talking to you, and I hope to talk to you soon.
You know it. All right, Kobe, thank you again. Appreciate you.
All right.
Peace. Again, that was my man, Kobe Jacobino from FanRagNBA.com. So you make sure you check out his content. Kobe's awesome. He's one of my favorite people. And again, we used to do Wizards games together, and we used to crack up. Like it was some real talk stuff, man. Some real talk stuff. It's Nats talk. I know I said before we're gonna do my picks right now. We're changing the schedule up a little bit. Should the Nats fire Dusty Baker? We'll have Ryan Sullivan from NatsGM.com to join me. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Ages. You dig? Deuces.
These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch, I make bloody move. Now she say, see, gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You run the club, just to party, I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much, I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give a f*** about who in front of me. Drop 2 mixtapes in 6 months, we're breaking as hard as me. I don't bother with these, don't let these bother me. They see pictures, they say ghosts, I'm who they trying to be.
I ain't gonna lie, I don't listen to New Age rap anymore, but this Cardi B chick, I seen her picture too. The song rocks and her picture rocks too. Cardi B is something else. You know what I mean? She's something else. But anyway, you listen to Urban Sports saying I'm Wally. Will T and Ray are out. They're not in the building today, but you know, I'm doing a solo. And I think my voice is pretty sexy, so you all can enjoy my voice. Right now, we have Ryan Sullivan from NatsGM.com on the line. Ryan, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, man. How are you holding up? They're making you do solo duty tonight?
Oh my God, I can't believe it. I know, but one wants to watch the basketball game. I'm not going to knock him. You know, it's the Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers. So he wants to focus on that.
It's opening night. You give him a pass.
I give him a pass. You know, and plus, you know, the other one had to work, so I'll give him that.
Work's a good excuse. Yeah, we got to give him that.
Exactly. And then, you know, the one that's watching, this game now, you know, he was so devastated with the Nets loss, too. So I wanted to make sure he had some therapy, some relaxation. You know, it was a tough loss, so I had to give him that. I felt like I had to be a good friend.
You're such a good guy, man.
I try to be as swell as possible. But last week, the Nationals lost to the Cubs 9-8 in Game 5. Eliminating them from the NLDS. Did you agree with Gio being named the starter in Game 5 in the first place?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I would have been fine with either he or Roark, and Gio's pitched much better this year, and he was on regular rest, whereas Roark hadn't pitched in a while. So, yeah, I mean, it would have been 6 one way, half the other, but I probably would have gone with Gio myself.
No, I thought so too. I think Gio had a great year. I don't get what people wanted out of Dusty. I'm like, to me, Gio had a great year. Between him and Tanner Roark, he was the better pitcher. I guess, you know, obviously Tanner Roark the year before had a good season, but this season, we're looking at the present, Gio had a good season. Unfortunately, he didn't step up. I mean, it is what it is. He didn't play the way they wanted him to play. It's almost like the argument, let's use the Dodgers, for instance. Kershaw has had terrible postseason play in the past. He's been better of late, but in the past he's been terrible. But I'm not going to say, like, you know what, I don't want Clayton Kershaw to pitch in the postseason.
Right. I'm 100% with you. And you know, unfortunately, Roark has just not been right all season after pitching in the World Baseball Classic last March. He's just never kind of gotten it together. He'd give you a couple of starts, and then he would look, you know, kind of rusty, for lack of a better way to put it. And it just wasn't his year, so... To answer your original question, yeah, I probably would have gone to Gio, but I would have had a very quick hook, just like Dusty did, frankly.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So you're listening to the Urban Sports, same with just me right now. I mean, but right now we have editor-in-chief from NatsGM.com, Ryan Sullivan, on the line. We're talking Nats. Max Scherzer came into the game after, you know, Matt Albers pitched a good fourth inning. Max, you know, he struggled, gave up 4 runs, 2 unearned. Did Max choke, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean, choke is such a nasty word.
I know.
But I guess if you're looking at results, I would say that he choked. But, you know, he was really close to also having a heck of an inning. I mean,
the surprising thing
is he came in and got, you know, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo real quickly for, you know, first two batters, got them. And then the wheels kind of fell off. I mean, you would have thought if he could have gotten through those two guys that it might have been smooth sailing. But I have no problem with the move. But I guess looking back in hindsight, you know, we all knew that Max's hip wasn't doing great, leg, calf, whatever the heck it was. He had been a little, you know, he had been off. He had been skipped a couple times in September. So he wasn't at full health. And then, you know, even in Game 3, as well as he pitched the results-wise, you know, he certainly wasn't as sharp as we've seen him. So maybe we shouldn't have been as surprised that he didn't pitch great in Game 5, you know, on 2 days rest, coming back, and then leg isn't quite right, and just, you know, out of his rhythm and everything else.
Would you have thought, if you were Dusty, would you have asked Steven Strasburg to take the mound instead?
No. Okay. No, you don't pitch the next day.
Okay.
No, those guys could barely lift their arm the next day.
No, I agree.
Throw. Mm-hmm. No. There was only one guy that wasn't available, and that would have been Strasburg. Okay.
Got you. Like, I'm with you. I think Dusty made the right move. Again, sometimes, you know, the right move just doesn't work. Unfortunately, yeah, sometimes it just doesn't work. And he made the right move. I know a lot of people want to play, and let's use a football term, Monday morning quarterback. But at the end of the day, if you're the manager in that situation, you know, if Gio, you're going to start Gio, and if Gio struggles, you're going to go with Mad Max. And you're just going to bank on Mad Max being Mad Max. I'm with you. I thought he started off the game with like guns blazing. Like, you saw the intensity. He was throwing 97 to me. So I thought, you know, he was going to get out this inning. But, you know, he played a tough Cubs team, and it just didn't work out for him. But I don't, in terms of the move, I don't have an issue with the move. I think people criticize everything once something goes wrong. But at the end of the day, it was the right move.
I can't agree with you more. I think it was the exact right play. I had no problem with it. I was all guns a-blazing about it, like you said, and sometimes it doesn't work. Hey, you know, Jordan missed some game-ending shots, too.
Agreed.
Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Not many, but
yeah,
it's some.
Exactly. You know,
unfortunately, you know, how is Dusty to know that Max is not going to pitch well? Every other way, would have expected him to come in and mow guys down for two innings and
exactly.
get us right to the back of the bullpen. So, you know, for every mistake he made some good moves. I mean, he went to Albers. That was a good move.
Yes.
He made some other good decisions as well. So,
like Dusty, obviously, you know, I mean, a lot of people questioned in some of Dusty's moves throughout this throughout that series. You can say Worth and left or whatever, you know, even the pitching, handling the pitching situation. Do you think Dusty returns next season?
I do, but every day that passes that he doesn't have an extension, that gets that answer gets more and more cautious
mm-hmm.
and a lot of whatever you want to say to it. I'm surprised that he doesn't have an extension at this point. I thought they would have signed it at the All-Star break. Then I was convinced they were going to give him the extension right before the home game of Game 1 to kind of fire up the crowd, reward him for two straight years of division titles. And then I even expected it in the last couple of days after the season. But, you know, like I say, every day that passes makes me a little more cautious. I think it's Dusty's job if he wants it. I do think there could be a little bit of, does he want to keep doing this? I mean, he's up there in age. I don't have the exact age, but he's in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heck of a grind to manage a baseball team. I mean, it's still a lot of travel, and you're away from your family. And, you know, he's got a son, I believe, now just going to college. He was drafted in June, so maybe he wants to go watch him play college baseball for all we know. So, I think, like I said a second ago, I think it's Dusty's job if he wants it, but every day that passes makes me think that maybe he doesn't want it to be his job next year.
I think Dusty wants to win a World Series championship bad, because I think, in my opinion, I feel like that's going to put him in the Hall of Fame. That's not, you know, that's what he wants. Because, you know, his regular season record is pretty good. You get a Hall of, but once you get a, you know, World Series championship, it propels you to Hall of Fame status. So I do think he wants to manage. I'm just not sure. Are you sure the learners want to? Do you think the learners want to keep him?
I think the learners are going to have a hard time. But, you know, I always go back to, you got to remember that they're businessmen first and foremost,
mm-hmm.
to win it. And when, yeah, they haven't won their original prize, but they've also dominated the division the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
that I think it's pretty difficult for them to sit there and say, well, we're going to fire this guy.
Gotcha.
There's going to be some backlash. You know, he's extraordinarily well-liked in the organization and in town. So I think that they would fear more of the backlash than anything else. And quite frankly, who would be available that they could go get that would be demonstrably better? I mean, you know, if Joe Girardi gets fired, although, goodness, it looks like the Yankees are making a comeback right now. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe I could make that argument. But other than that, I mean, you know, Joe Maddon's not getting fired. Frank Cohn is not getting fired. So
mm-hmm.
how much of an upgrade could you really do?
The Yankees came back and won the game. It's a 2-2. The series is 2-2 now.
Oh, my God. I'm watching it now. So, yeah, I knew they were coming back.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I thought that game was already over. Let's look at the bright side. Michael A. Taylor in the NLDS hit .333, hit two home runs, eight RBIs. Looks like he's like coming to his own. He's taking his game to the next level. What do you expect to happen with him with the Nats next season, knowing that Adam Eaton's going to return?
You know, it's a fantastic question, because, you know, 3 months ago we thought that Taylor may not even be part of this organization in 2018. Now it's, you know, is he going to be the starting center fielder? Is he going to be a big trade chip in this offseason? As you kind of allude to, the Nationals do have a logjam in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harper's going to be here for one more year unless something just absolutely extraordinary happens.
Mm-hmm.
And Eaton's going to play either center field or left field next year. You know, he blew out his knee in April, but he should be more than ready to go, you know, by spring training. So it's going to be, you know, do they think Robles is ready?
Exactly. That's one, too.
I mean, he certainly showed some flashes in, you know, a few at-bats and a few games in September. They put him on the playoff roster, which I thought was intriguing, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Taylor is also, in a certain way, he's earned the right at this point to either be a starting center fielder, left fielder, whatever you want to call him, a starting outfielder for the Nationals or somebody else. I think the effort he put in this year defensively and then coming in and hitting, 19 home runs and then really impressing on the big stage, he's earned his opportunity. So it's whether it's going to be in Washington or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I come back to, you know, Brian Goodwin has made you know, had a nice season as well.
Maybe he sure did.
Maybe he's more of a fourth outfielder than a starter, but, you know, once again, I go back to there's a logjam there, so I'm curious to see how they clear it up. I mean, the team does have some obvious holes that they need to fill, catcher being probably the biggest one I can point to, if it's starter another, so it's a very interesting offseason. They could do a lot of things, or they could be very quiet, but I think Michael A. Taylor starting for somebody in center field, you know, opening day next year, just I'm about 75%, not 100%, it's going to be in Washington.
Yeah, it's amazing because he's a guy to me that he kind of reminds me of Adam Jones a little bit in terms of how he played, how his progression reminds me of Adam Jones. This guy who struggled a little bit when he came in Baltimore, and all of a sudden he kind of clicked for him. And, you know, he's always been a smooth center fielder, Michael A. Turner, compared to Adam Jones. And, and now you can see the pop, like the pop is coming up slowly but surely. And when I look at him, I'm looking at a guy with a lot, with a big upside. I look at him as a guy that can definitely down the road be an all-star caliber center fielder. Not just in good at center field. I feel like he can be an all-star caliber center fielder. And if you asked me that 2 years ago, I would say, you know what? Now he's a guy that, you know, is gifted athletically, but as a hitter, he's not there yet. But now I see a guy that is starting to come well. He's starting to become more of a well-rounded hitter. He can take the ball. He can hit a home run on the opposite field, which to me says a lot. And he's understanding the strike zone a little bit better. I just think he can be a star. I feel like between him, if we're looking at it for the Nats, in terms of playing center field, he should be playing center field, and Eaton should go to left if they want to stick with Michael A. Taylor on the team.
I agree with everything you just said. My only additional point that I would make is if you looked at Michael A. Taylor like a stock, he would probably never be more valuable
Agreed.
Than right now.
Agreed.
So if you did want to cash him in and you wanted to go with Goodwin in center field for 2 months until Victor Robles is ready, you could command quite a haul. And there's probably even a little premium on that price because everybody saw him. I mean, shoot, he was the best player in that series.
He was the best player in that series with all the superstars. He was the best player in the series.
So, you know, if you wanted to sell him right now, you could really get a great, great, or command a great price for him. And maybe that's what they do. They throw a high price on him this winter and say, hey, if you want to match it, that's fantastic. And if you don't, great. We're going to go to spring training with an embarrassment of riches.
No, I agree. But before I let you go, how can people get your content?
Oh, goodness. Everything starts with my website, natsgm.com.
Which is a great website. Continue.
I appreciate that. And I have a couple podcasts that also run through there. You can also find them on Apple Podcasts if you want to look there. Just search for NatsGM, all one word.
Okay.
And if you want to find me on Twitter, it's natsgm.com, all spelled out.
Hey, Ryan, thank you for being on the show. We're still going to try to get you on because there's always off-season, right?
Hey, in some ways, the off-season is my favorite time.
Okay, then, Ryan, that's a guarantee. You are a GM. So, Ryan, it's a guarantee that we're going to have you on.
Anytime, my friend. I enjoy whether it's just you or it's you and the gang. I feel bad for you. They only give me one person. Nobody's coming in tonight, man. Come on. But
I know, right, Ryan? People just don't treat me right. They don't treat me right.
But I'm giving them a little zinger. But in all seriousness, I'm happy to talk Nats anytime. And big fan of your all show. And anytime you guys reach out, I'd love to come on.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. I'm definitely going to have you on. You're part of the family now, so you're on.
Oh, well, much appreciated. All right. Great one, okay?
All right, same here. Thank you, Ryan. All right, that's a great guy. That is Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief from NatsGM.com. So make sure you check out his content. And like he said, check out his podcast on iTunes. All right, make sure you check it out. Subscribe. I'm a subscriber to it. I love his show. It's a great show. So you make sure you check it out. But up next, we're going to do our Week 7 NFL picks. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying for IGIS. You dig? Deuces.
Chase.
Chimes. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. Will T and Ray are out of commission. Not a commission. They're not doing the show tonight. Will's watching the NBA, the opening night of the NBA. That's a good friend. I gave him the night off. Ray Jeezy has to work. So, you know, I'm a good team player. That's what I try to do. And also, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave a comment, you know, because I love comments. You can comment on anything. Just comment on me. You can say I stutter. You can say whatever. Just comment on me. I love it, though. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Last week, Will T and I went 4-10, and Ray went 7-7. In comparison, Football Garbage Time's Joanne and Ryan went five and nine. Hakun Wong went 4-10, and Scott went 6-8. Within our overall battles, and you know, with our records, Will T is 49-42, Ray is 47-44, and I am 46-45. Usually, how we do these picks, I go, Will go, Ray goes. This is how we usually do it. But since they're not here, we're gonna do it a different way. I'm gonna read off my picks, and then I'm gonna read off Will's picks, and then I'm gonna read off Ray's picks. All right. Chiefs versus Raiders. I'm going to choose the Raiders. Buccaneers versus the Bills. I'm choosing the Bucks. Yeah, I'm choosing the Bucks. Ravens versus the Vikings. I'm choosing the Vikings. Jets versus the Dolphins. I'm choosing the Jets. Cardinals versus the Rams. I'm choosing the Rams. Jacksonville versus the Jaguars versus the Colts. I'm choosing the Colts. No, take that back. I'm choosing the Jaguars. Saints versus the Packers. I'm taking the Packers. I'm going with the rookie. The first year starter now, since Aaron Rodgers is out for probably the whole season. I'm taking Hundley. Panthers versus the Bears. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers. Titans versus the Browns. I'm going with the Titans. Cowboys versus the Niners. I'm a Redskins fan, man. What do you think? Choosing the Niners. Broncos versus the Chargers. I'm taking the Chargers. Bengals versus the Steelers. I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going with the Bengals. Seahawks versus the Giants. I'm going to take the Seahawks in that game. Falcons versus the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots. Redskins, Eagles. This good luck thing's been working. Haven't been picking the Redskins, and they've been winning. So I'm going to be picking the Eagles in this game. Will T. He picks the Chiefs, the Bills, the Vikings, the Jets, the Rams, the Jaguars, the Saints, the Panthers, the Titans, the Niners, the Chargers, the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Patriots, and the Eagles. Ray has chosen the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, the Vikings, the Jets, the Rams, the Jaguars, the Saints, the Panthers, the Titans, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Falcons, and the Eagles. Those are our picks. Hopefully, again, I win out because I like winning. I'm a winner, not a loser. I win often, and I'm guaranteeing victory, you know, because, you know, if you don't win stuff, if you don't claim it, it ain't yours, and I like to claim it. But anyway, thanks for listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself. I appreciate you all. Will T and Ray, we back next week. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega, lead us out, big homie. Pledge allegiance to the swag.